One word of encouragement or one expression of love might change someone's life. You never know. You have no idea how God might use one simple word out of your mouth or one moment or one generous expression in your life that just loves someone else towards the grace of Jesus. You just never know. Now, when I asked you, right, if you were an influencer, I set you up, right? Because your point of reference was 196 million people. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of folks. And obviously, I did it on purpose. But another reason is I really genuinely believe that a lot of people didn't have their hands up whenever they say that you're an influencer is because the word influencer has been hijacked by our culture. Like, I mean, it's been stolen, and our culture says, no, this is our word, and this is how you define it. And this is how I can prove this to you. If you go to Google and you type in influencer, you will see article after article on how to be somebody like this. People like this, right? Because they don't call Cristiano Ronaldo and be like, hey, can you pose with our trophy? No, no, they call his guy. His guy gets paid, and then he gets paid. And so there are companies out there, there's articles out there that say, all right, this is how you can be an influencer. In fact, if you go online and if you look at the definition of an influencer, this is what it says. An influencer is an individual who has the power to affect purchase decision of others because of their authority, knowledge, or relationship with their audience. It's crazy. I mean, that's what an influencer is. Someone who influences my purchase decisions because of the number of followers that they have on social media. Like, how crazy is this? I don't know this guy, but he has it, and so therefore it kind of makes me want it. It's crazy. You know, whenever I was younger, we would talk about this. In fact, whenever I was going through elementary school, teach somebody with their life. And so we would say that a teacher was an influencer. We would say that, like, my coach in high school, he was an influencer. A good parent was an influencer. A good friend is an influencer. Someone who taught a Sunday school class was an influencer. And today, though, our culture has taken it. And many people would say, well, an influencer, they have to be a celebrity. They have to be a content creator, right? Somebody who's amassed lots and lots of followers. You know, hit that subscribe button on YouTube. That's who we say are influencers in our culture at this point. And in fact, if you go through and you try to find an article about anything other than like social media or something like that connected with influencer, you're going to be on page like 30 of Google. You're just not going to get there. It's like you have to find the end of the internet to find it. So what I want to try to do today is bring this back to us as a church to be influencers. I want you to see yourself, because you have no idea how God could use one word of encouragement to give you and then to pass that on to someone else. Right? One moment or one expression of faith to change someone else's life. So I want to show you exactly what Jesus says you are. Are you ready for this? This is exactly what Jesus says you are. He uses two metaphors in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 5. To describe you. You are the salt of the earth. Now, what does salt do? What does salt do? It dissolves, yes. You're not supposed to dissolve, all right? But one of the things that salt does, especially in this culture, is it purifies, it preserves. And you know what else it does? Is it makes food taste really, really good. I mean, it adds flavor. So he says that you're the salt. And then Jesus, in the next verse, goes on and he says this: you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. You're light. You're supposed to be on top of a hill to where everyone can see you, where you cannot be hidden. Now look what this next verse says, how silly this would be. And this is what Jesus is saying about us. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. That's ridiculous. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Let your love influence people towards Jesus. Let your light shine that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, let's reclaim the meaning, all right? What does it look like to be an influencer? Our current view of influencers, it normally starts with this. It normally starts with a platform. You got to have a platform. You would say, well, Eric, he is an influencer because he has a platform, literally a platform, but also he has this place, right, this moment where he gets to tell a room full of people what he thinks, but also what Jesus has in store for his teaching. And so you would say, well, Eric is an influencer because he has a platform. But I think it starts with something different. I think it starts with something completely different. I think that true and lasting influence always starts with people before platform. People before platform. There's this guy, his name's Louis Giglio. He's now a pastor at a church in Atlanta. He leads this thing called Passion Conference. And one of the things that he said early on in his career as a minister to college students specifically was he said, if you want to grow the church that you're at, then love the people that you have. Seems pretty logical. You know, and it's wild. I think that sometimes we get, right, the cart before the horse. We're like, well, we got to get more people. We got to have more people. We got to have more people. But honestly, what we probably need to do is just focus on the people right in front of us. All of you have people right in front of you. All of you have people right in front of you. Some of you literally right now. But also, whenever you're going out throughout your day, you interact with people inside of your sphere of influence every single day. Some of those you look at, you know, at the Keurig at work. Some of you look at, you know, there the collection where everybody goes whenever they don't want to actually work. Y'all have any of those places? The congregant room? No? Everybody's works. All right, good. Glad y'all don't know where that's at. Okay. But this is it always starts with people. And all of you have people in your life. A lot of you interacted with people just a couple weeks ago at Christmas. Whenever you're sitting there unwrapping presents, and think about this for a moment, if you can visualize this, if you can look around the room that you're in as you're opening up presents, how many of those people in that circle that were opening up presents don't currently know who Jesus is? Aren't currently involved in a relationship with Jesus right now? Think about it just for a moment. You have people in front of you right now. And you are called to be an influencer. I want to use this as an illustration for our church, okay? And I want to make this very, very applicable for a moment for you, okay? So everybody's looking at me? Everybody's nudge your person next to you? All right. Emma, come here for a second, all right? She's so embarrassed. She hates being in front of people. This is good. No. This is great. I'm not going to make you do anything embarrassing besides get up here in front of everybody, all right? All right, cool. So this is Emma, all right? This is something that's exciting that happened to you in 2019, okay? You ready? Emma was baptized in 2019. How exciting, yeah? Yeah, that's something to be excited about. That was weak. There we go, all right. No. You don't get to go anywhere yet. All right, so Emma was baptized in 2019, okay? Now you would say, how is Emma led to a decision to be baptized? And many of you would say, well, I mean, she lives in the home with the preacher. All right? So you'd say, so Eric and Patsy, because Patsy, she believes in Jesus too, all right, led her into a relationship with Jesus, right? Demonstrated that and talked about that and all these kinds of things, all right? Now, that would be good on the surface level, all right? But honestly, it's giving way too much credit to me and Patsy. Way too much, all right? You actually get to say, huh. All right, so here we go. I want you to raise your hand just for a moment if you have ever taught Emma in Sunday school, junior church, kids worship, way back in the day whenever she was little. Yeah, so come on, raise them up. Let people see you. Okay. Very good, right? All right, put your hands down. Some of them rocked you as a little baby. All right, now. Okay. No, you didn't. It's weird. All right, so here we go. So some of you influenced her by teaching her in one of those classes. Okay? Now, raise your hand if you've ever said, good morning, Emma, or have seen her walking through this church and you've just said hello and encouraged her by being kind to her. Raise your hand if you've ever said hello, hi, Emma. Okay, look at all these people. Do you see that? Now, you all have used an encouraging word and a simple phrase to just let her know that she's welcome here and that she matters by just acknowledging her and saying, hey, Emma, you are an influencer. Now, how cool is that? You can sit down now, all right? How cool is that? This is so cool because here it is. Petsy and I are so overwhelmingly excited because our child has come into a relationship with Jesus and has made that decision independently that she wants to be a follower of Jesus. And you know who gets credit for all of these things? Is those of you who allowed God to use you to encourage and speak to her in her life. You are an influencer. It's cool. We get to celebrate these things, like somebody like Lexi Belcher, who we got to also see give her life to Jesus after a trip to Mexico. So not only are there people in this room that would say, yes, I'm an influencer towards Lexi giving her life to Jesus, but there's also people in a whole other country in Mexico that get to raise their hand as well because it took place after a trip to Mexico to where they influenced her by just being encouraging or teaching the Word of God at some point. We also get to use Miss Teresa, and especially that Tuesday morning ladies' Bible study. How cool is that? She said, I am not working on Tuesday mornings. I will be here in this place. You are an influencer. You have the potential to reach somebody for Jesus if you just choose to be used. How cool is it? There are people who influence these things and have influenced these things. You have no idea what one word of encouragement might do to influence someone. Now, here's what I hope you'll understand. Influence isn't always obvious. Influence is not always obvious. Influence also isn't always instant. Just because you don't see a harvest right then doesn't mean that your seed didn't take root. You have no idea how God might use you in just one moment to plant a seed that will grow into real and lasting influence in the life of somebody that you love and care about. So just because right now you're not seeing the results of those people around you that you feel like you've been investing in over the past year doesn't mean that it's fruitless. There's still hope there. You have no idea what's taking place in their life. In fact, I'm going to show you a story today. All right, let's get to the scripture part. I want to show you a story today in the New Testament. Most of you know this story, okay? And this is the story, though, is we're going to see how the most unlikely person becomes an influencer. So the story takes place in John chapter 4, probably my favorite book in the New Testament, all right? And it's about this woman that nobody ever thought would have an influence, or at least a positive influence, all right? Let's say that. So the context of the story is this. Jesus, he's on a trip, right? And he's on a journey, and he's going to pass through Samaria, which was an unusual choice. In fact, no self-respecting Jew would ever cut through Samaria because everybody thought that these were like the half-breeds. They were half Samaritan and half Jewish, right? They were half Gentile, half Jewish. Like, Jews hated the Samaritans here, all right? And so they believed that they were less than human, worse than dogs. So you would never interact with a Samaritan if you're a Jew, especially a Samaritan. He shunks everybody. And he goes and he cuts through Samaria and he sits down at a well in the middle of the day, which would have been crazy talk to sit down at a well in the middle of the day because everybody gets water in the morning, not in the middle of the day. And he sits there to rest and a Samaritan woman comes up to him and Jesus asks her for a drink of water. He dignifies her by starting a conversation with her, right? She would have never been able to engage him in the conversation. He starts the conversation with her. And she's thrown completely off guard. Scripture says in verse 9, it says, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus replies to her with love, with just kindness. And I mean, you can just sense the love here. It says, Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me. Offering like this kind of rhetorical thought there. And then he's like giving her the answer, though, that she's not really even asking for. It's like, I'm giving you what you need without you even having to ask me for what you need. Like, he's introducing this whole idea to her. This is the way that you interact with someone with love. I mean, she is intrigued, but she's also confused. Like, it's her mind's kind of blown here. Keep going, Joe. And so it's really wild. So hang tight there. Hang tight there. And so the lady's like, well, wait a minute. Like, you don't have a bucket. The well's deep. Like, how can I get you water? Here's a problem here. Deep hole, water at the bottom of the hole. You don't have a bucket. Doesn't work. No one's going for a swim. So Jesus replies in verse 13. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. Yeah, that's right. That's a true statement. That's true always. It doesn't matter how refreshing that Coca-Cola is, you'll be thirsty for another Coca-Cola at some point. There's no question about it. And so gives him this is it. Like, he is leading this woman. And he's telling you, listen, you're going to thirst again. So this woman, she notices that something's different about this guy. All right? And she's like, curiosity is piqued here. She's like, all right, so if I'm going to get thirsty again, how about you give me some of that water that is the living water that you're talking about, where I'm never going to be thirsty again? Like, give me some of that. So Jesus says in verse 16, all right, verse 16, says, go and get your husband. She says, well, I don't have a husband. So Jesus says, well, you're right. You don't have a husband. For you have five husbands. And you aren't even married now to the man that you're living with now. So, and she's just blown away by all this. Right? Just, I mean, blown away. Like, she's like, yeah. Yeah, you're right. So she's like, you must be a prophet. You must be able to see into people's life. There must be something special around you. Now, let's make sure that we understand where this story is, okay? Make sure that you're tracking. There wasn't a Jewish man anywhere who would have ever interacted with this woman. But Jesus approaches her with love in his heart, right? He dignifies her and honors her all the time, knowing that she is this outcast of her own community, divorced five times. She's living with this other guy in this day and age, right? In this day and age, now, in the 21st century, people would be like, something's not right. Something's not quite right there. Maybe you would whisper about this woman, right? Stay away from her and keep your husband far away from her. She's nothing but bad news. But in that day and age, she'd have been completely rejected. No one to get near, no one to talk to. Jesus, knowing all that, all right? Knowing all that, we would say this woman is a train wreck, and Jesus goes right to it and engages this woman because he sees what can happen with this woman's life, not what is happening. Knowing that a simple touch from heaven can completely change this woman's heart. So it dawns on her, right? She's like, well, wait a minute. Like, we've heard about this coming of this Messiah. I've heard perhaps that there's this man that's doing miracles and raising the dead, opening blind eyes, right? Why would a Jewish man speak to me, right? Show me honor and know everything about my life. So perhaps, right? Maybe perhaps this is the one that we've been waiting for. This is the one that we've been praying for. So this is what ends up happening. Is she leaves her water and she runs back to the village, okay? She just leaves her water, takes off to the village. And in fact, this is what the Bible says. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone. Right? Come and see. See who this is. He's told me everything that I've ever done. Could he possibly be the Messiah? Now, what do we see in this story? What do we see in the story? You see a couple things. Number one, it doesn't matter how bad your life is messed up. No one on this earth is too far gone for the love of Jesus to reach into their life. No one. Also this, we see the outcast, the one that everybody else would whisper about. She goes in and she begins to enthusiastically tell people, this may be the one. The broken woman, the lady with the messed up life, the woman that everybody talks about. She immediately becomes an influencer when Jesus makes an impact in her life. So her story shows us that you don't have to have it all together to be an influencer. All right, so some of you out there that are like, train wreck, walking around. Listen here. Jesus can change your heart, number one. Number two, you don't have to get it all together before you start telling the world about Jesus. All right? Yeah? Everybody's following? Okay. Here's the other thing is you don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't even have to know how to pray. You don't have to be able to quote that exact place in the Bible. It says it somewhere. I wish I could tell you where. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have everything fixed in your life to be an influence. You just have to know who Jesus is. Yeah? You just have to know who Jesus is. And you have to care about the people around you. You got to know who Jesus is, and you have to care about the people around you. You can, right now, whenever you walk out of these doors today, you can immediately be a light to this world, salt to those around you. You just have to care about people. You don't need 196 million followers on Instagram. You don't even have to have 747 friends on Facebook. The platform is not what's important here. What is important is that you care about the people in front of you. Do you care enough about them and their eternity to tell them about Jesus? You just have to let salt do what it does. Isn't that great? It's awesome. Whenever I sprinkle salt out on that steak and cut into it, it's good because salt simply does what it does. You have no idea how one word of encouragement, one word of hope, one expression of love might influence someone towards Jesus. So this woman, she goes back to the village. She tells everybody, and the disciples, they come back to Jesus, all right? And this is great because, like, this is the sidebar in the story. Because the disciples, they come back to Jesus. And what are the disciples? They're hungry. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm hungry. All right? So Jesus, and then they're like, you know, have you eaten, Jesus? And then Jesus, he throws this spiritual curveball at them, what he does, right? He's like, well, my food is to do the will of God, right? Ha! In your face, disciples, y'all are talking about food, and I'm talking about the will of God here. And then he goes on, he uses again this imagery. The field is ripe for harvest. He uses this farming metaphor, and the harvest is ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few. For our purpose, I think we can say the field is ripe for harvest. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is so obvious in our culture. Make sure you're hearing this. The field is clearly ripe for harvest, but the influencers are few. The influencers are few. Don't let culture rob you from your calling by saying that you don't have enough following or whatever. It doesn't start with a platform. It starts with the people in front of you. So this woman goes back to her town. She tells everybody, next part of the story. It says, listen to this. So this is the impact. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. She became an influencer just like that. So Jesus, he ends up sticking around for a couple of days there, just long enough for all those people to hear the message of who he was. And then in turn, they believed. This woman right here that we would give no credit to, even in our culture now, influences an entire village for who Jesus is. So who does God use? Not an Instagram star, not a professional athlete, not a celebrity, not Kanye West, not content creators. but he uses regular, ordinary people who's been transformed by Jesus. I want to share a story with you that's personal, because this is what I think, okay? Because I think a lot of you say, yeah, okay, cool. Jesus wants me to be an influencer. I think all of you can buy into that, yeah? Can everybody buy into that? Raise your hand if you can buy into that. Jesus wants you to be an influencer. Okay, so I think where we get into the hard times as a church, okay, in the 21st century is, yeah, but how do I do that? Or I don't have, like, practically what does it look like? We talk a lot about a lot of things on Sunday mornings, and I think for many that come into this room, you turn around and leave this room and you say, yeah, that was great. That was good. If somebody would just do something like that. So, you are that, okay? You are an influencer. This is how it looks in my life over the past 3 weeks, okay? And I have really just tried to be in tune with this over the past 3 weeks, okay? 2 weeks before Christmas, okay? I was busy on the side hustle, and I went into this person's home to fix the some plumbing in their house, okay? They had a drain that wasn't working or whatever, so I was going in there to fix it, okay? I had woken the guy up, you know, knocking on the door or whatever, and they finally came to the door, and I went in, and I went to fix this this pipe in there. And he was a nice guy, but you could tell, like, maybe he had stayed up late, right? And that things just maybe weren't quite right. And then his girl came out, all right? And I called the girl, and I don't mean it offensively, but I don't know if she was wife or fiance or just a girl, all right? But clearly they had had some kind of an argument of some kind. Things weren't right. And so the Christmas tree is up. He's just woken up. He's a little bit, you know, perturbed, and I could tell that it wasn't just me showing up at his house, right? And so I just asked him, I'm like, hey, you know, how's your Christmas season? He's like, well, he's like, you know, things aren't quite good right now, okay? Things aren't quite good right now. And I'm like, oh, yeah? I'm like, you know, what's going on? He's like, well, me and my wife, we kind of got in an argument last night. I'm like, kind of, or y'all did? Right? Isn't that always funny how that kind of things? I'm like, so you guys got in an argument last night? He's like, yeah. He goes, you know, it's just not great. So I was wearing a pair of jeans and a button-down shirt because I had something meeting here later. He says, you sure are dressed nice to be coming in to fix a pipe in my house. I said, well, I have a meeting at church later because this is just my side hustle. I'm actually a full-time preacher. Oh, yeah, you work at a church? I'm like, yep, that's what I do. And so I fix the pipe, and we continue to talk and just kind of build that relationship just through talking about nothing about church, nothing about God or Jesus. And so I went to leave, and he was a nice guy, and I said, hey, listen, you think before I leave, you think I could just pray for you and your girl? He goes, yeah, he says, that would be great. So he actually went and got her out of her room, and I stood there in their living room with this guy that I had known for about 10 minutes, and I prayed for him. I don't know anything about their life. I mean, right now, honestly, they could be as far away from God as they were 3 weeks ago. And that's not my part in it. My part is to be an influencer and to say, hey, listen, can I pray for you? Can I just be encouraging to you in the name of Jesus? Another way that this happened. The day after Christmas, right, I'm back to the side hustle. Go up to South Carolina, all right? And I'm helping move just an air conditioning unit, okay? And on my way back, I stopped at the gas station because it was early in the morning because I needed a cup of coffee, like 5 or something like that, right? And so I pull in, and as I'm coming out with my cup of coffee, and it was great because coffee was only 50 cents because I had my own cup, right? Praise the Lord. And so I'm on my way out, and I'm walking to my truck, and this guy says, hey, you give me a ride? Right? Do I make eye contact, or I just keep walking and act like he's not talking to me? said, well, let's see what he says. So I turn around and I walk over there to him. And it's early. I mean, like, and I say early, but I mean, it's like maybe 9 o'clock or something like that, okay? And this is why I say it's early, because the guy already had his double deuce going on in his brown bag, sitting outside the gas station, drinking him some kind of alcoholic beverage of some kind. Listen, I know 9 o'clock's not early for some of you, but it is too early for that, okay? Amen? All right. So I go over, and he says, hey, listen, I'm trying to get to this. He tells me a story, right, and it's a mile long. He says, you think you can give me a ride to 95? Well, I said, yeah, all right, I'll give you a ride. Okay. So I said, but you got to throw that away, though. Can't take that in the truck. So, you know, he takes this one last big swig and throws it in the trash can. So he gets in the truck, and he's telling me his story, and his story doesn't match, right? Like, it's going every which direction. He says, well, I'm just trying to get some money for a tire. I need to replace a tire on my car. And I didn't have any, well, I actually had already given them the last bit of cash in my billfold, which is, you know, maybe $4 or $5 or something like that, at the gas station before he asked me for the ride. And he said, you got a debit card? I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, he says, if you take me to this gas station, they have an ATM inside. He said, if you'll help me, he said, I'll mail you the money back. Y'all snicker. We know this story. So I had somebody else's business card in the truck. But I wrote down my name, and I wrote down the address to this church. I didn't tell him that. And I went inside. He stayed out in the parking lot flirting with this lady that her husband ended up being in the car, which was entertaining. But anyways, I give him a little bit of money, and I gave him the business card. I said, now listen, I got to tell you, okay? I said, this isn't my home address. So I'm not trying to mislead you. I said, but that's not my home address. I said, oh. I said, that's actually the address of my church. Oh, you go to church? I do. I said, I'm going to know if you send this money back. I said, you know how I'm going to know? Somebody tell you? I said, no. I said, I look through the mail every day because I'm the preacher at that church. Oh, you a preacher? I said, I am. I said, this is also what I know. Your story isn't your whole story. I said, it doesn't make sense, and it's not all true. I said, and this is what I also know. I said, something's not right in your life, because nobody should be drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, so? I said, your story doesn't make sense, and there's something not right in your life. And the only person that can fix that is Jesus. You can talk about Jesus with me, but it doesn't make a difference until you give him your heart and give him your life and allow to live it Jesus' way. I said, I hope that everything works out for you, blessings to you, and we'll pray for you. That was it. I left. Now, he very well could have went and spent that money at the cooler section of that gas station. And guess what? That's none of my business. It's none of my business. What is my business is to influence this world for Jesus. Listen here, all of you in this room, all of you in this room have the responsibility to influence this world for Jesus Christ. You were dead without him, and he has rescued you from death. He brought you to life. This is what we praise Jesus for, but this should also be what leads us and compels us in our future. You have every reason to celebrate, but also let this world know about Jesus, because it is the best news that you have ever received. It is time for you, the church at Rincon First Christian Church, to influence this community and to tell those that you interact with every single day who Jesus is, and to live your life in a way to where Jesus is on full display. This is a year for you to do something different with your life and to live it for Jesus Christ. We're not about people attending church, but we're about people being the church. And it is time for us to do just that, to influence this community for Jesus. Now, for some of you, you need to return to the heart of Jesus. For me, honestly, it is daily that I have to return to the heart of Jesus. Because every moment, like I talked about before all of this, I don't dedicate to Jesus. I am selfish and I battle always. But luckily, Jesus, thankfully, Jesus, he renews his mercies every morning. Like, we are made new. We celebrate that whenever we come around this table. You have the opportunity to remember it and to thank God for it and to reflect on your life of what it should look like because of Jesus. That's one of the reasons that we gather here as a church, to remember that. So we're going to do that. I'm going to pray for our time of communion. I'm going to thank God for sending his son Jesus, for the sacrifice for us so that we can have new life in him. What I want you to do is I want you to repent. We need to repent as a church. To say, God, we're going to acknowledge you for who you are, and we're going to give our life to you, and we're going to live for you, and we're going to tell the world about you, because you have called us to be a light, and darkness can never overcome light. Let's celebrate what Jesus has done in us and tell the world all about it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who has given us new life. Father, we were dead and there was no cure. But Father, you sent your son, Jesus, to be that cure, to be the answer that we needed and that we could not find any other way.